Good morning, and thanks to all of you for coming in on a nice holiday weekend. I'd like to talk to you today about the meaning of Independence Day, interdependency, and community to ourselves and our nation. We gather as a congregation to deepen our connections to each other, our community, and our planet. For many years, we reaffirmed our commitment here each week with these words. The seventh principle of Unitarian Universalism on the back of your order of service reads, "Respect for the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part." We gather to connect, drawn together by a sense that we are interdependent, at least with each other. We are drawn together by our, and here, by our current needs along life's journeys, needs for mutual support, for purpose, for nurturance, to replace loneliness and fear with warmth and affection, for community. For many, the 4th of July is a family holiday, a time to laugh, play, connect with those closest to us, while we honor that which we value most. Beer, hot dogs, beach, traffic. Of course, the holiday also celebrates a day 239 years ago, for those of you who remember, when our founding fathers signed a Declaration of Independence, declared the colonies free and independent states among the nations of the world, absolved allegiance to the British Crown, along with a litany of complaints justifying that step. But significantly, they also set forth a higher purpose, declaring that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. This was remarkable. Taken literally, this seems to ban the death penalty, ban prisons, and even ban the prosecution for theft, as my right to the pursuit of happiness apparently takes precedent over unmentioned right to own property. Basic law would require some more work. It was remarkable in other ways. The kings of England, France, and Spain derived their powers from God, not from the consent of the governed. The people would reign supreme. In closing, the document said, "The representatives of the United States of America in General Congress do, in the name and by the authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states." Aha, a loophole. So it is by authority of the good people of these colonies, not the bad people. Independence is central to our national identity. It is also central to our independent or our individual identities, sometimes. Independent means free from outside control, not subject to authority, not influenced by others, not reliant on another for support. This quest for independence, autonomy, freedom, this yearning to be free, grabs us all at times, that impulse to leave, to get away, to cut ties, shed responsibilities, to hit the road. We all have fond memories of road songs, and most of us road trips. On the road again, venture a highway, I get around, Breakaway, Route 66. Cruising. Take it easy. Life in the Fast Lane. Born to Ride. Born to Run. Born to Be Wild. Thunder Road. Highwayman. Out of Here. Me and Bobby McGee. And then, after we've gone down that lonesome highway a ways, we miss home. For every road song, there are two songs about going home. Homeward bound. There's no place like home. Mountain home. I'll be home for Christmas. So many songs about missing home, going back, pining for past comfort and love lost. We're all puppies. When we're in, we want out. When we're out, we want in. Forever scratching at the door. I counted 33 addresses that I called home. I was the new kid at 6 public schools. Then during college, I moved every 3 months for 5 years as a work-study co-op student, driving straight through from Atlanta to Dallas, or Dallas to Atlanta. Later, job changes, moves, and 1,000 business trips or more found me back on the road. Communities change shape as well. For several years, my work group rotated bi-monthly meetings among 10 countries, and we conferenced weekly. We are now a global village with vibrant, engaged groups, often spanning continents. These tighter connections bind us all together. This dynamic between independence and interdependence plays out in our nation's history as well. The settlers came here to get away, break free from their interdependent web of existence in Europe. And they immediately banded together to survive in a new land. For centuries, they maintained ties to Europe until in 1775, the impulse for independence overtook caution. Shots were fired, British troops were shot, and simmering tensions broke into open rebellion. Freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. Maybe it felt like that in 1775 and 76 and 1777. Nothing left to lose. A year after the shooting started, rebellion leaders wrote and signed a Declaration of Independence, asserting equal standing for the colonies among the nations of the world. We cannot imagine what it felt like to sign that document. They had no real plan for victory, no government infrastructure to get anything done. Failure was arguably likely. Maybe a third or more of the population felt rather more loyal to Britain than not. Nonetheless, the pledge of those 56 signatories was powerful. We mutually pledged to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. That's somewhat stronger than our affirmation. With these words, they declared complete interdependence with one another. They committed. They would either prevail or they would face execution. Then things went badly for over a year. But then in late 1777, a British general's mistakes cost his army at Saratoga, which inspired the French to join the Americans in 78. 3 years after that, the French Navy was key to forcing a second British Army's surrender at Yorktown. We depended on the French. After the British left, the new American states struggled with their mutual interdependency. A dozen years after declaring their independence as 13 states, a new constitution of the United States of America reset the relationship, declaring, again, remarkably, "We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America." By adopting this, the 13 states acknowledged an interdependence with one another as one people. They traded some of that hard-won independence for the communal security, tranquility, blessings of a more perfect union, but not too perfect. Amendments protected independence, singly interdependent world. With the end of that Second World War in 45, the United Nations was formed, this time with American support, as we shouldered increased responsibility in an interdependent world. And so it goes, with the pendulum swinging for nations and for individuals, between going it alone and being in community. What is this ideal American spirit? Is it the independent individual who shoulders responsibility for himself and his own, does what it takes to succeed and extols others to do their best? Or is it the good neighbor, the citizen who lends a hand when needed, the civic-minded volunteer? I think both. Our circles grow and expand from family to village to fellowship, enterprise, nation, and beyond. Each other. Nations and global, national and global challenges of unhealthy dependencies on fossil fuel consumption, debt, can be tackled only in community, together. We cannot solve these alone. Together we have hope. We build on foundations we did not lay. We warm ourselves at fires we did not light. We sit in the shade of trees we did not plant. We drink from wells we did not dig. We profit from persons we never knew. All our lives, we are ever bound in community.